Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace that you have bestowed on each and every one of us. And so grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. And for all of our moms, I say happy Mother's Day. And to all of our ladies, we thank you so much for how the Lord is using you and blessing you. For all of our ladies, the kingdom of God is advancing through you, and we praise God for you. We love you so much. Grateful for you. And I see many guests here with us today, and I praise God for you being here with us. Some of you have traveled to be here with us today, and we rejoice at you being here. And if you're local, I want to say I invite you in hope that you will keep on coming. Bring your Bible and bring a friend, and you come as we open up God's Word together. And what a special day that we have before us to see all the children being dedicated to the Lord. What a great privilege that is. And what a great joy that is for us as a church. And now the joy of being able to gather together and open up God's Word together to a beautiful passage of Scripture. Now, the challenge before us today is not that we can theologically understand this beautiful passage of Scripture, but whether or not you will engage in this Scripture and determine to see yourself and press yourself into what God is trying to show each one of us. Here, the author is going to liken us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He's going to liken our lives to a race that has a beginning, the race itself, and then we cross the finish line. And he is going to encourage us and even give us an example of the faith and how it is that we should run now by faith. Now, if you look at the very first word of Hebrews chapter 12, it is therefore. In other words, in light of what we have just heard in Hebrews chapter 11, he has much to say to us. In Hebrews 11, known as the great chapter of faith, he told us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, our lives are going to have to be marked by faith if we are going to please God. And faith is believing and trusting God. Are we willing to, in fact, believe and trust what God has said? Faith, then, is confidence in God's word, that God is actually telling us the truth, that it's reliable, and that we are best served by believing and then obeying that truth. Faith is confidence in God's word, regardless of the cost, regardless of the consequences, resulting then in obedience to God. To walk by faith is to believe, trust, and obey God. And this is certainly applicable now into our lives that are this race that God has set before us. And not only that, but he has given us the examples of men and women who have lived this life of faith and who have already run their race, and they now speak to us by way of their testimonies. Now listen, their stories have already been written, but ours is being written even today. And so he says, therefore, we also are engaged in this race of faith. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that is to say that their lives bear witness and testimony to us that we can also live a life of faith. And now their testimonies encourage us. And so in light of God's calling on our lives to live for him, he's going to give us two admonitions before us now of things that we are to do if we are going to run the race well. I want you to see this in the scripture. He says, first, let us set aside, let us lay aside every weight first, and then secondly, let us now set aside that sin which so easily ensnares, entangles, and left unchecked, overcomes us. Two things right there. The first which he said was, let us set aside every weight. And you might look at that and say, what in the world does he mean that I am to set aside every weight? What is he talking about? Is he talking about getting rid of the sin in our life? No, you see, he's talking about that secondly. But here he says that we are to do something. He's calling us to take something in our lives and set it to the side if we are in fact going to run our race. Now, it's really not that hard to imagine if you would just simply picture a race. And I love watching the Olympics, especially the races. How many of you remember watching Usain Bolt and him running? And if you notice something about him and all of the racers, they wear the lightest clothing they can. Shorts that weigh about an ounce or two, a tank top that doesn't hinder them, that allows them to race. In 1996, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Olympics, Michael Johnson with the golden shoes. He says, yeah, but they don't weigh like gold, they're light, so I can run. But can you imagine if at the Olympics we're all waiting for Usain Bolt to come out, and he comes out and he's wearing boots and jeans and a heavy jacket and all kinds of gold and jewelry? You're thinking, what has he done? What is he thinking? He's not thinking. He's never going to win the race. He might have had the ability, but now it is hindered. He's going to come in last place, and he certainly would if he ran like that. And so the coach would tell him, if you want to win the race, get rid of the boots and the jeans. Nothing wrong with them, but don't wear them in a race. If you're going to win, you have to consider and then set aside things that would slow you down. Speaking of races, one of my favorite Olympic athletes in the Winter Games was a guy by the name of Apollo Ono. Does anybody remember Apollo Ono? Oh my goodness. He's a little guy, fast as lightning. I watched an interview with Apollo Ono, and he said that he would do whatever it takes to win the race. He had determined and placed as his priority to win the race. He was going to get the gold medal. And the interviewer began to speak to him what cost would be involved. And Apollo Ono spoke about the aerodynamic helmet and the light, tight clothing that he would wear that would allow him to cut through and be as fast as he possibly could be. And so he had taken every precaution and every opportunity to see to it that he would win the race. And when they started speaking to him about how he prepared so that he would win the race, they said, so what kind of thing do you do? He spoke about waking up early in the morning. They said, do you like waking up early in the morning? He said, no, I hate waking up early. Why do you do it? I'm going to win the race. I have to deny myself certain things, not necessarily sinful, but certain things are going to have to go in order for me to accomplish the goal of winning the race. He wakes up early, can't stand to do it. And then he began to speak about his workout routine, to which the guy says, do you like to run and exercise? And Apollo said, No, I do not. It started to sound like me. I don't like to walk and to run. Is anybody else with me on that? Do you actually like running? Oh, good for you. Give me some of your DNA. Apollo said, I don't like it. And then they started to talk about his diet, and he told them he hasn't had a cheeseburger in 8 years. And they ask him, do you not like cheeseburgers? He says, I love cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburgers. Well, why don't you have some? Because if I partake, I will not finish the race the way I want to. I'm going to discipline myself so that I might win the race, whatever it takes. Now, whether you know it or not, you, when you trusted Christ, if you claim the name of Christ, you are in a race. Every one of you who claims the name of Christ is now entered into the race of faith. And I promise you, this race is of much greater value, of much greater significance than the winner of an Olympic race, though that might be important. The race that you are entered into has eternal ramifications. And this race that you are running in, the results and your effort will resound throughout all eternity. For your stories are being written now, inked forever in the journals of God. You must be careful how you choose to spend your time and the activities that you choose to participate in, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your own giftings. You could take your spiritual gift. You might be able to sing like an angel, but God didn't call that gift to Las Vegas. You might be a great leader. Whatever it is, the Bible says, do it all for the glory of God. Use all of who you are, the way that God gifted you, to serve God and to serve people. Apollo Ono was willing to do whatever it takes, even if it's not eating cheeseburgers for 8 years. How much more so the people of God to deny themselves, as Jesus said. Do you remember Jesus said? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. I have discovered that in my life, my race, that I have placed Jesus as the ultimate goal. I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. That's my race. But along the way, I have discovered it wasn't so easy. It was easy to say, I want to live a life for God. But each and every day, opportunities come my way. I discovered soon after becoming a believer, working up in Washington, D.C., and having access to free golf, that I used to love to go play golf. And if you know, you can play golf 6 hours a day. And even before I got married, 6 hours a day could be 8 or 10 hours a day. And I could spend my time just doing things that are not necessarily sinful, but really don't add up to too much. And when the golf went away, I found myself having the ability to watch TV. I wondered if watching TV was a spiritual gift and if I had that spiritual gift. Come to realize it's not a spiritual gift, it's a temptation. And even now, one of my stumbling blocks, don't laugh, is that Weather Channel. You said, Pastor, I had no idea. You're such a nerd. It is true. There I am, especially in the wintertime when blizzards are taking place across the United States. Hold on, I'll be down for dinner in just a little while. Got to see how much snow they're getting. And especially when we get that debilitating shut down Raleigh, North Carolina, half inch of snow, how can I not watch TV? And then the thunderstorms that come rolling in the summer and the big red lines coming at us and my daughter, Daddy, I'm going to prom. How do you like my dress? Not now, honey. No way. There's a storm rolling in. Well, it's not that bad. But close, if I'm not careful, some of you guys sitting there just laughing at my expense, and there you are, don't laugh, you watch the Cooking Channel. Baseball, football all day. And there's nothing necessarily wrong or sinful about watching a cooking show or the Weather Channel, having some downtime or going on vacation, having hobbies. But listen, if they hinder you from your time with God, if they hinder you from running your race, then God is calling us. Set them aside and to set your eyes on Christ and to run your race. Don't let the good things or the distracting things take away from the best thing in your life, which is living for God. And I want to tell you, I'm so grateful to God for so many here in this family that serve in so many ways. The hundreds of people that have served with our food pantry ministry that show up on Saturday morning and they're here serving and putting out food to help and to love on those who have fallen on hard times. All the food that was given away to 147 different families that showed up that had need. And as they served, they also shared the gospel, and we had eight people place their faith in Jesus Christ yesterday morning. Amen. Speaking about eternal rewards, an eternal blessing on those. They could have said, I'm just going to sleep in. I'm just going to live for myself. But the pattern of their lives is, I want to serve God. I want to serve and make a difference for the kingdom of God. And while that's going on, yesterday I'm so grateful for Eleanor Wetterman, who leads our special needs ministry and her team of leaders and volunteers. And we have respites yesterday afternoon, a respite, and we will see 70, 80 plus children from the community that come in that we're able to serve their families and bless the children. And every time as they come in, we have over 100 servants in our special needs ministry. And I just want to say I praise God for every one of you. Thank you for choosing to make a difference. You know, there's different things you could do. You choose to serve God. And it was yesterday afternoon, I'm with my son Jake, and he says, what's going on at the church? It's packed. And man, I'm not thinking clearly. My wife's been out of town for 3 days visiting her mom up in Michigan. And I don't know if you know how hard that is. I got three kids now. Raising three kids. Does anybody know how hard that is? I'm not thinking straight. Jake's like, man, it's packed. What's going on? I'm sitting there going, oh, no, today's Sunday. I miss church. That's great. And I walk in, and there's a team from Haiti that's meeting, 35 people. That's about all we can take. We have to say no more. Can you imagine how blessed we are to be at a church that says we're taking all the people we can onto the mission field. Sign up for the next trip. And I praise God for all those who are going to, whether it's Washington, D.C., a Northeast mission trip, to Haiti, to Israel, to India, all the places that the Lord our God is sending us, that this is a church that serves the people in our community and takes the gospel everywhere. Listen, God has called you specifically to make disciples that make disciples. And this passage of Scripture is not meant to condemn us, but to encourage us now to run our race and to not let the things of this world, temptations and opportunities to distract us from running the race, that we would deny ourselves and now to set aside every weight. And then secondly here he says, and the sin which so easily entangles us. And the author has already spoken to us about the deceitfulness of sin. I was walking around in my backyard the other day, and man, I have no green thumb, but I'm trying to help get ready for the summer, and there's these trees that I've been watching. They're growing up, and since last I've seen them, these vines have now started growing around them. I don't know if you've seen these little vines, how they wrap themselves around, and even on some of those little trees, they've already come over the top and seem to be overcoming them and preventing them from growing. I've seen it happen when they get to a point a year from now where they're actually overtaken and they take out the life of the tree. Those vines just grow so quickly and subtly around. And I would take the vine and I would unwrap that from around the tree and rip it out so that the tree could grow and run and have the freedom. Sin does the same thing in our lives. It's so deceitful and it wraps up around. And oftentimes we need somebody that will come who loves us and just start taking that sin off. And as I would take that vine off, I would see that it had already left scars and marks that it had impressed into the tree. So quickly it happens, so subtly and deceitfully sin comes into our lives. One of the most heartbreaking things is watching that happen, and as you're trying to untangle that sin, those who are caught up in it make excuses for it, lie about it, justify it, and get mad at you for it. But in love, God has called us to serve one another, to help one another, and to point us to Christ, to point us, that's the way to go. That's not the way to go. That's the way to go. That we are to be careful as we run our race. Listen, I love you all so much. And I want to see you run your race in such a way that when you come to the finish line, you cross well, you finish well, to hear the Lord's voice to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To be sure, all of us in this race have stumbled and fallen along the way. This is not condemnation. This is, as I heard my dad say so many times, on your feet, son. Let's go. Let's go. This is what this passage of Scripture is reminding us of this day. Paul the Apostle, how heartbroken he must have been. He spoke about how he had been abandoned. No one was left. So many people abandoned the faith, chose to live for themselves and not to live for God. He would write about this race, and he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So you run in such a way as to lay hold of the prize. And because of that, he said, therefore, in running my race, I do not run aimlessly, but with purpose. I understand the purpose, the greatest purpose in my life is not to make money or to be happy. The greatest purpose in my life is to please God and to walk by faith, the race of faith. Paul would speak about this man who had been accompanying him for a season in ministry, a man by the name of Demas. You look it up. Demas. You know what Paul says and the Scripture records about Demas? Just this one brief description about Demas. Demas has forsaken me. having loved this present world. And his race was ended. He quit the race. May that not be true of any of us. Let us set aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. And now that that has been done, notice what he says so beautifully. He says, and then let us run. What a great statement. Say that to yourself as you wake up and look in the mirror. It's time to run the race that God has set before me today. It's my race. Nobody else can run it. God has set this before me. Let us run. And it implies great effort. Running involves effort. Let us run. I can remember when my son was playing baseball, the coaches loved the kids, were so excited, and really got into their grill when they were lollygagging down to first base and just playing so easy and distracted. Fly balls coming out there. The outfielder just, look at that bird up there. You know how it is. And so the coach pulls the whole team together. The coach pulls the team together. You've seen it before. And he's looking at them. And you see this going on there. And I remember the coach said, I need something from you boys today. I need effort. Effort. Kept screaming, effort. And I'm thinking, if it is so important that they pour out effort in baseball, how much more so the kingdom of God, eternal life, pleasing God. We need those same men to shout in their families and in the mirrors and in the world today that we are running a race. Give us effort. To the people of God in church today, people in church are just lollygagging down to first base. And there's a race going on. Opportunity to glorify God, and you'd rather watch TV. Effort. Let's go. The call from Scripture is to wake up the people of God and say, let's go. When you read this verse that says, let us run. Moms and dads, remind your kids, let us run the race. No time for Weather Channel. Maybe a little bit. No time for Fortnite. Maybe a little bit. But as much as you watch the Weather Channel, take that much time reading the Word of God. As much time as you spend watching a game or participating in sports, double that time in kingdom work. Let us run. And the Bible says here with endurance. Gosh, I can remember in ninth grade embarrassing myself to no end. The coach takes out the class. I've never really been trained in running. There I go. And he says, guys, we're going to run a mile. No problem. Four times around the track. No problem. I'm not even breathing hard. I hadn't even started running. I'm like, man, I'm pretty fast. We play, you know, games. We run around. Man, he blows the whistle. I take off. After 200 yards, I was 100 yards in front of everybody. Me and my friends, you know. There we go. Man, I get halfway around the track. Man, I'm way out in front, except for this cramp. This cramp that's got me on the side. And why am I breathing so hard? I know, I'll just take a walk. I'll walk for a little bit. And by the time I get around the first lap, now they're passing me. By the time I finish the second lap, they're 200 yards in front of me. I'm not quite ready to run yet. I'm still walking. I have seen in the Christian faith so many who come out on fire for God, making all of these great promises. Listen, listen. Push yourself into this scripture and see where you are in this race. So many come out on fire for God, making all of these grandiose promises about what they're going to do and their great vision. You look for them 2 years later. Whatever happened to that guy? I don't know. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. I hadn't seen him. Where'd he go? He doesn't go to church anywhere. Not serving the Lord anywhere. He came in pointing his finger, talking about all these things, and now he doesn't serve the Lord. Be careful. The Lord has called us to the race with endurance. The Christian life is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. Day by day, waking up. And the word endurance, hupomene. Hupomene is to stand underneath something. Now watch this visual. To stand under and to stay under with discipline. This is the center. God has called us to walk in the center of His goodwill and purpose for our life and to stay and stand underneath. But when the temptations come, there you go. And when the trials and difficulty come and you're saying, it's too hard, the persecution and the difficulty, it was bearable at first, now I'm gone. And yet by discipline, the runner stays under. By discipline, the child of God understands and has counted the cost and now remains centered in this race that God has called you to, not abandoning and not quitting. You see, in Galatians 5:7, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, you did run well, but what happened? You were doing so good. You did run well, but who did hinder you? What happened? Why did you slow down? Why did you quit the race? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What is it that takes up your time, your talents, and your treasures? What is it that is entangling you and preventing you from running as your ultimate goal? He calls us to run. Let us run now with endurance, not quitting, not slowing down. Let us run the race, the word race, agona. Do you hear that? Agona, where we get our word agonize. The Christian life is not about your happiness, but about your holiness, walking in a way that's pleasing to God. And yes, as we strive through life, there are times that we are agonizing through in the strength of God to get to the finish line in a way that is pleasing to God. God has called you into the race to endure in the race and to finish well. And in order to do that, he tells us real quickly now in this last verse, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. The word is actually to look away and unto Jesus, to look away from all of the hamburgers and cheeseburgers, weather channels, and things of this world, and set your eyes on the goal, which is the upward call in Christ Jesus, and to set your eyes now looking unto Jesus as our focus. Is He the focus of your life? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, that is the archegos, the source, the beginning, and the finisher, the end, the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, and He delights over you and loves you, and gave His life, the Bible says here, He endured the cross. I'm so glad Jesus did not quit. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and Jesus finished the work of purchasing our salvation, and Jesus sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. I'm so glad that Christ died for my sin, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day and offers eternal life to anybody who wants to receive him by faith. And when you receive Christ, you are now born into the family of God and your race starts. Now, I want to read a passage of scripture, say a word, and then we'll close in 4 minutes. I need you to listen carefully. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this. He says in Philippians 3:12, as he's running his race, sees it coming to an end, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been perfected, not yet, but as it stands right now," listen, he says, "I press on." I press on. God wants you to press on in your race of faith. I press on to now take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I now have finished my course." He finished his race. I have kept the faith. This is what God has called you to. You may say, "Man, I'm on in years now." Just like a gentleman told me a few months ago, "I'm on in years now. And I didn't run the first half of my race very well at all." He says, "But I'm asking God to help me to run the second half of my race in a way that counts and resounds throughout all eternity. And I'm so glad to watch him now and to see that thing taking place in his life as he serves the Lord. I'm so glad to tell you about a man named Bill Lewis who teaches one of our life groups. He has been in and out of the hospital. His wife has been in and out of the hospital recently. So many opportunities to say, 'I need to step down.' And yet, there he is in the midst of it. Over 80 years old, and he's still serving the Lord. I went to have lunch with him several months ago. I thought he was going to tell me, 'Pastor David, I just need to step down.' I even asked him, 'Are you telling me? Are you going to tell me that you need to step down?' He says, 'Why?' Man, until the Lord tells me, I'm going." He's running his race. And I'm so glad to see his family and his grandchildren who are in college now stand here just this past week and give testimony of the impact of their grandfather in their lives. What a great testimony it is when children and grandchildren can look at mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and see in them the examples of faith, that they finish well. This passage of scripture is calling you now to take dead aim on the rest of your life, starting now to resolve that I will live by faith, trusting and believing God and doing it God's way. I'm not going to waste my life. It goes by so fast. I'm going to live for God. It's my race. Nobody else can run it. And so here I go. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would sow these words into our heart, that we would remember that you have placed us in a race. There is a finish line. And I pray, oh God, that each and every person here would finish well. Help us to remember that in order to do that, we're going to have to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow you by faith. Lord, I pray that we would set aside all and every weight and every sin that so easily entangles itself in our lives. I pray that we would not slow down, and I pray that we would not quit, and I pray that we would not see something in the world as more valuable as something in the kingdom. I pray that as our stories are written, that they would be written well about us because we chose to live the life of faith, that we chose to run our race, our lives in a way that is pleasing to you, O God. So God, hear this prayer and apply it to all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.